Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norm. I hope you get this message. I want to tell you a story. The time and place was my home. I was a teenager. It was Halloween time. Norm, have you ever seen candy corn? It's yellow, white, and orange-colored candy made into the shape of a tooth. One night, when my mom and dad had gone off to the movies together, I super-glued the candy corn to the ends of my little sister's fingers. Let me explain. We had lots of candy corn. This was the only candy that my mom gave out when the trick-or-treaters came to our front door. Norm, at that time I had a very hairy pussy. In addition to being hairy, my pussy was very hungry for meat. I had recently read an article in an adult magazine written by a woman. I don't remember the woman's name. In the article, the woman talked about how much she liked it when her man would tooth her cunt. She noted that when this man bit her clitoris, vaginal lips, and asshole, she would experience multiple orgasms. I didn't know what an orgasm was, but I knew I wanted one. I didn't have a man available that would tooth my cunt. And that's where the candy corn came in. I told my little sister that we were going to play a game, so I glued the candy corn onto the ends of my little sister's fingers. I told her that I was going to turn off my bedroom light and aim a flashlight at my hairy cunt and tight asshole. It was a battle between two angry animals in the night. Her job was to kill an out-of-control rabid wolverine, which was really my dripping box. Of course, she would kill this animal using her sharp teeth. She was an animal too. She would use the candy corn teeth that I glued to her fingertips to kill the wolverine and win the battle. When I switched off the light, all you could see was a massive patch of my pubic hair when the flashlight was aimed at my fuckhole. My idea worked perfectly. My hairy beaver looked like an animal moving about in the night. My sister went right to work killing the wolverine with her candy corn teeth. Norm, as the candy corn teeth were driven into my shithole and minge, I came and I moaned, and I moaned and I came. I told my little sister that my moans of pleasure was the wolverine dying from the repeated bites from the candy corn teeth that were glued to the ends of her fingers. She was winning the fight. That night I had experienced over 150 orgasms. The battle ended when my hot pussy juices melted her candy corn teeth. Norm, one other thing. While I was scenting my bedroom using Glade Apple Pumpkin Spice Aerosol Spray, the telephone rang and I answered it. The man on the other end of the telephone said,
"One time when I was a kid, some old bald dude dressed up in an American Indian Halloween costume threw a spear at me. It was about 6 feet long. I was bent over picking up pieces of candy that had fallen out of my pillowcase. The tip of the spear, I now realize because I am an adult, was a dildo. It was enormous. The spear went deep into my tight asshole. While it was in my asshole, the old fuck pulled out a remote control and he switched on a powerful vibrator that was built into the dildo spear. I came maybe 8 or 10 times. While I was coming, the old dude was jumping up and down and slapping his hand over his mouth while he made sounds. He had this big ornate Indian headdress on his head and face paint. I believe it was war paint. While he was vibrating the shit out of my large colon, he suddenly extracted the Indian dildo spear, and then he knocked me the fuck out with a spirit Halloween imitation American Indian tomahawk. My mom found me knocked out and lying in a deep ditch alongside our street 2 days later. It was a bad scene, man."
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, if you have a spare bag of candy corn, you can use your little sister to get yourself off in a big way, just like I did. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never call me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to smoke some high-end shit while I massage my clitoris using my pointer finger and middle finger. Of course, I'll be doing all this while I lie atop my deceased grandmother's cum-stained mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
So bad news, man. I mean, really bad news. I mean, I spent 18 months in Vietnam. 18 months. I was a door gunner in a Huey helicopter. And I took out literally thousands of people with basically a Gatling gun while I was standing by an open door. And this is bad news compared to that. I came out of it unscathed. I mean, nothing. I don't like to say it, but I actually kind of enjoyed being there when I was there. I miss it. People talk about flashbacks and shit like that. When I have flashbacks, it's a dream to me. When I wake up, I seem refreshed and feel good. I got a chance to go back. I feel good. But this is sort of bad news here. Nothing I'd expected. You're going to say, what is it, Norm? You're not recording anymore? You're not making recordings? That's what these are. These are recordings. I don't care what they call them. Thomas Edison was started it. This is a recording, man. And here's what happened. I went to a bar near my house. And it's called Snuffy's Bar and Grill. Now, it's not about snuffing people out. Though I'd have liked it if it was about snuffing people out. It's called Snuffy's Bar and Grill because he's got a big picture on the wall, man. It's 4 feet wide and it's about 6 feet high. And it's a picture of Snuffy and it says Snuffy below it. And it's a dog. It's a spaniel. One of those hunting dogs with spots and long ears. And he's got a lazy eye. Everyone always makes fun of the lazy eye and Snuffy. Snuffy was the founder or the owners of the bar. That was his dog long ago. And then he called it Snuffy's. His story is that he opened Snuffy's Bar and Grill to help him kind of console his feelings about losing Snuffy. So the bar and grill became Snuffy's. Now here's the thing about Snuffy's. And you're going to say, well, okay, what's the thing about Snuffy's? Here's the thing about Snuffy's. A lot of chicks go there, man. There's a lot of chicks there because there's a lot of dudes there, a lot of middle-aged men, a lot of older men than that. What do they call them from the 1960s? Boomers or something like that? There's a lot of men there like that. They own $500,000 homes, a $500,000 home, $1 million home. They own property. And they go to Snuffy's because it's a laid-back, cool place. It's really dark. When you first come in Snuffy's, you can't see for a minute. So they have poles near the door that are padded. And the padded poles are there so you can grip onto the poles or not fall over, bump into something, fall into a chair, and fall into the floor. So there's padded poles there so your eyes will adjust to how fucking dark Snuffy's is. Once or twice when I was in Vietnam, I had a motherfucker that was ahead of me in charge of our platoon. Once or twice, this fucker told me to go into a goddamn one of these caves, one of these damn tunnels that the VC used to use. And I mean, that was dark. And compared to that, Snuffy's is like the major league. It was dark in a fucking tunnel, but Snuffy's is even darker. So you have these poles there and shit. And on the side of the poles, there's these thick paddings, like 4 or 5 feet thick. Foam on each side. If you happen to fall, lose your footing, lose your balance. Snuffy's is aware how dark it is. But then you stand there, and there's a little timer next to one pole on the right. And the timer shows you when you can go forward, when your eyes have adapted. Your pupils got to really dilate super wide, so there's a timer there while you're standing there so you can get used to how fucking dark Snuffy's is the Snuffy's Bar and Grill. Because it's so damn dark, you don't get hurt. But once your eyes adapt, you see a whole new world. You see a whole new possibilities in front of you when you go into Snuffy's Bar and Grill. And what is that whole new world in front of you? Well, there's a lot of chicks in there. There's a lot of vacant, big-titted, vacuous idiots in there looking to grip onto somebody like you. 60-year-old man, he's got all kinds of property, got 10 ATVs, 3 cars. He's got all kinds of shit, so chicks go there. I know better than to go there. I'd rather go to the submarine that's buried underground from 1940. It's a fucking real sub. It's filled with chicks because there's some sound that comes out of the speaker. Some inventor, some scientist bought this sub and brought it over here. It's a top secret place. I've talked about it before. Filled with chicks from the front to the back. Their pussies are out. There's no fucking, but it smells like pussy. And they're in there being turned on, being put in some kind of trance by a sound that comes out of these speakers. They're inside big, thick metal boxes. And that's what they go there for. But Snuffy's is sort of like that, but in an entirely different way. That the sub chicks are getting off and they're taking an LSD trip without any LSD, just sound. But at Snuffy's Bar and Grill, people go there, man. They go there looking for dick. They go there looking for pussy, don't they? That's why they're there. And then they try to ply their id or feed their id or their superego, their ego, whatever it is. They're in there trying to bypass all that shit. Excuse me, I got a sore throat, man, because of the yelling I did. They go there to try to bypass all the security doors that would prevent you from doing horrible things that the Lord gave you. They go in there, they drink the booze, it lugs all those doors, every door in their mind opens up, and they're ready for fucking dick, they're ready for fucking pussy, aren't they? So I went in there. And I think I was in there one time once before I went in there. And I said, never again. I know what it is. It's smoky. It's extremely dark. So dark that you can get hurt. They got the timer at the door that tells you when you can start to go forward and walk around. That's how dark it is. I don't know why. Why do chicks go out in the dark? They got all daylight. How many hours of daylight? 18 hours, 17? I don't know what it is of daylight, but they only go out in the dark. Now that should alert you straight away that something's not right. If you're going out in the dark and you're a chick and you're going out in the dark to find him, isn't that a flag? I think I'll go out in the dark now. It's jet black out. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm going to go out in the dark and get some really honorable chick or something like that. I'm going to go find it. It's dark, man. You're in danger. I go in the fucking bed oftentimes to get out of that danger. So do you. I better get in here and lock all my doors and shit. There's bitches out there walking around looking for dick in the night. They're like those parasites that occupy snails and frogs and everything else. And their mind is gone and a parasite runs the whole show. So I went into Snuffy's. I went into it. And I went into it probably thinking about chicks, stuff like that. Chicks. They got these fucking lights that are still there. They're Christmas lights. They never come down. They got a Christmas tree up there. It never comes down. There's a picture of Santa and he's holding the Bud Light. I don't know how old the picture is. It's like a 3D picture, plastic, made in a plastic injection machine or something like that, made in the 60s or something like that. Santa's drinking a beer. It's that kind of bar. Do you know that kind? There's vinyl everywhere. Thin pieces of plastic vinyl on everything, on every chair, on the bar countertop, on the fucking stools. It's everywhere. It's that kind of bar, man. You go into the toilet, there's a slight film of water on the floor, there's tile on the floor, tile on the walls, there's no locks on the doors, there's no stall doors, that I remember. So why would you go in there? Who would go in there and go number two in a stall without a fucking stall door? Not me. I don't want a stall with a stall door. I want to go into a stall and be fucking private. Somehow, the fact that my feet are showing bothers the shit out of me. Isn't that bizarre? There's just two legs from the ankles down with boots on, working man shoes, and you know they're connected to some biological carbon-based unit that fucking is taking a shit. I don't want to be around that. Nobody does. Hey, let's go out in the dark now. There's bitches out there. They don't come out in the daylight. Why? Because you can see them. You see their skaggy face, their dark rings under their eyes. You can see all of it. The fucking bruises around her fucking right side of her face and left side of her face from taking punches from men. You can see her abdomen. You can see, oftentimes you'll see fucking plasters on their side where they've taken blows to the ribs. When I say plaster, I'm talking like a Band-Aid. You see Band-Aids tied to their fucking side and all that. Because they've taken body blows so much, and they don't want you to see that. So I went into fucking Snuffy's. I went into Snuffy's, and I'm going to look around and have a good time, maybe. I figure I'll go to the counter, get a couple glasses of whiskey. I drink whiskey straight, not because I'm a man or macho. That's the way I like it. I don't want ice mixed with whiskey when it's been fucking 37 years sitting in a wooden barrel. Why would I ruin it with water? Water's filled with fucking fluoride and all kinds of chemicals. There's even E. coli in it. I'm going to pour that into my whiskey. Why don't I fucking take the fork and stick it into my artery? That's just as bad. I just want it straight. So I go into Snuffy's and I sit at the counter. And as you know, I guess at the bar you call it, I'm very good looking. When I tell you I'm the recipe of what people want to be, I'm not shitting you. I learned every trick. I watched every fucking TV commercial. I watched everything you could possibly imagine. Everybody around me, every man around me, because I was horrible at it as a kid. I had social anxiety, didn't know anything, couldn't do anything. But I learned and slowly grew and grew and grew into the master that I am now. And I'm trying to pass this shit on to you before I'm dead. Which could be tonight, tomorrow. I haven't made up my mind yet. When you'll know, when I know, I go and you'll find out about it. When you go to the thing, it says, no such page, no user found. What is it? 404. When I decide to 404 myself. So we go into Snuffy's, and I sit at the bar. all vinyl and shit. It's got cheap pine that they've stained dark. It's that kind of thing. Christmas lights at the back, all kinds of glass at the back that's very, very unclean, that's never been shined. You can't actually see yourself, and that's deliberate. They don't want you to see yourself. They don't want you to look in the mirror and see the woman to the left or the right of you and see her face clearly. They want you to drink and drink and drink because you might get pussy, they might get dick, and nobody wants anybody to see anything really clearly. See things clearly, you could be in trouble. The logistics, the realities, the fucking potential things, this and that. They don't want you to see any of that stuff. Here's where the bad news comes in, man. I mean, bad news. Worse than being with a fucking M1, the fucking Gatling gun on a Huey aircraft, and you ain't got any more bullets, you got no more belt. It's worse than that, and you're just pulling the trigger and nothing's coming out. It's way worse than that. I meet this chick, and I think, wow, she's not bad. As soon as you sit down, Snuffy's the guy at the fucking bar behind the bar, it's usually the owner. He comes up and puts a candle in front of you. Why do I want a candle? The candle's for the bitch, it's not for the dude. You know why he put the candle down on the bar? Because it cuts the stench of pussy. He puts a candle there. It smells like Christmas or something like that. Scented candle. He puts it there. Of course he puts it there. The minute a chick sits in a bar, what happens? She's getting drunk, man. She's fucking drinking all kinds of booze. Her id is in charge now. The superego, the ego, and all the safeguards, it's all gone now. She's getting drunk, and her pussy starts dripping. It drips and drips and drips. You ever see a drip hose for plants? That's what a cunt is. It just keeps dripping. Even the cunt is just dripping away. Sometimes they can't get dick, but the pussy was trying to tell the woman by the wetness and shit, what are you doing? There's dick there. Sometimes she won't do it. There's dick there. It's getting dripping and wetter and wetter and wetter. That's why Snuffy put the candle down. He put the candle down to cut the stink. Nobody wants the stench of pussy. Now, there are some people. Granted, I'll give you that. There's some people, maybe even you. Maybe you go animal. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend. He's kissing pussy and he's going, blah, 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 blah. He's doing that and he doesn't care about all that stuff. I do. I care about that stuff. I have this idea of femininity. I have this idea of presentation. I've always had it. So Snuffy puts down the candle. And the girl looks right at me. And suddenly, Snuffy brings another candle. When she looks at me, he looks at her. And I know what he saw. He's experienced. He's a guy that tends to a bar. He saw her fucking eyes dilate as big as Frisbees. And he knew what was up. She wanted to zero in. She wanted your correspondence, dick. She wanted to come inside my sack. My bubbling two-part epoxy. My fucking white hope inside my sack. She wanted to guzzle that down. They sucked the life out of you. That semen inside your bag's keeping you who you are. Once you unload it, you ever notice? You're weak. You're getting funny thoughts. You're not in control of yourself anymore. That's because she sucked it out of you, and she lives on that. It's like the salt monster in that fucking episode. And she was supposed to be Nancy, but she wasn't Nancy. And she was a salt monster. It's like that. They sucked that shit out of you, your life out of you. That was a metaphor, by the way, on what a woman can do to you. Sucking the life force out of you through your fucking dick, through your dick and your semen and your nozzle. It takes about, this is what they say, it takes 175,000 calories to build up your sack. 175,000 calories with regards to proteins, carbohydrates, and all that, to build that sack up to capacity. Now you're the smartest you'll ever be. When you unload it, when she sucks it dry, you're not smart anymore, you're stupid, and that's how you fall into things. Like 80% of people in prisons are in there because her sack was empty. It got emptied by some slut, by some salt monster, Nancy, and they made mistakes. So the guy looks at her, and he puts another candle down. Now, I know that shit. That's a two-candle presentation. It's a two-candle pussy-cutting thing. He cut the pussy because he could see her eyes dilated, and she knew she was dripping like a fucking faucet down there. It's in a 1940s tenement apartment. She's dripping like a faucet down there out of her cunt, and he knows that I'm in danger. He puts down another pussy cutter because he's got two suckers that are going to suck on down all kinds of alcohol. He doesn't want to kill that. What would happen if he put a big light there? What would happen if he hung a fluorescent light or put a headlight on us, one of those straps you can put around your head, you're a hobbyist and all that? He put those on and we could really see each other's face and cut through the reality and the darkness. We wouldn't drink anymore. We'd leave. He doesn't want that. He wants to cut the pussy stench. And I know this for a fact. You ever see three-candle things they sell at stores? Three-candle, four-wick candles, three-wick candles. That's for a chick. She lights the one candle when she's kissing you. She lights the other candle when she starts rubbing your knob. She lights the other candle when you're playing with her pussy. And now if it's a four thing, then she lights that when you're going into her pussy. You've unzipped her pants. You've unzipped her fucking pants or panties and all that, ripped them up. That's the fourth candle, man. That's to cut all the stench. I always talk about stench. I'm very susceptible to the stink of pussy. I really am. And I know where it originated from. It came from a woman I knew years and years ago. Her name was Kim. Her dad had a GMC Jimmy. We went to the railroad tracks and we parked the car there. And she said, would you kiss me down there? And it stunk like pussy so bad you wouldn't believe it. The drops of water from condensation leaking from the sides of the windows, leaking from the fucking the dash window, were impregnated with stench, pussy stench. It just came down. I later heard that she said her dad couldn't clean the inside windows anymore. There was just streaks on them. That's because pussy was in there, the molecules of pussy. It cuts through and destroys everything. Said he, when he looked through it, it was like he was walking through beads for the back entrance of a fucking porn store, and you can go to the back part and get blow-up dolls and all kinds of snuff films and all kinds of shit like that. He said it looked like that. I smelled the pussy. She said, would you go down there? Would you kiss me down there? I couldn't do it. I said yes. But my body said no. When you smell shit, when you smell something that smells like decaying body like pussy does, you don't go forward. That's a warning. It's something built into you. Get out of there. Ding, 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 ding. And I understand this. Maybe you don't. Get out of there, fucker. You're in trouble. So Snuffy's puts down the other candle. Mr. Snuffy, they call him, but I don't actually know what his name is. I think it's Dan something. Daniel, Dan, something like that. But Mr. Snuffy puts down a second candle when she looks over at me. And of course she looks at me because nobody looks like me. 6'2", blazingly bright green eyes, a full head of hair, well-versed in all things, a tremendous wordsmith. When she hears this, she says, wow, what the fuck is this? What is this I'm looking at now? This is something different. My ship has come in. I've had four divorces. I've taken a dick into my shithole hundreds and hundreds of times, the doctors told me. The scoring inside my shithole, the scar tissue, is so thick, so heavy that it's hard for me to shit. Every time I shit, the shit comes out my shithole with score marks on it, and you can tell I shit this out because the scarring, the tissue is so outward, so enlarged, so protruded that it makes these grooves into every shit log. And that's the kind of thing. The shit log is protruding. And he puts on the second candle, and I know what's up. She wants me to dick her. I'm Norm Augustinus. She wants me to dick her. She's tired of getting scar tissue in her shithole. And she thinks maybe this guy would really make love to me. We'd be kissing gently. Our tongues would be touching gently. I'd smell her Evinrude or whatever perfume she's wearing. Maybe I got my fucking Pierre Cardin or my Old Spice on. We're smelling each other. It's mixing to a certain cologne, a certain perfume. That's what happens. Her perfume, my cologne, it mixes together. And then it mixes with the molecules coming out of the pussy, mixes with the molecules of the pre-seminal fluid coming out my boner, and it all mixes together in this bizarre sexual fucking batch of attraction that you'd never get. I mean, life's like working in a factory, but that changes everything, and you just go for it. So we start having a conversation. Small talk conversation, each one of her talking, and I think, well, she's not bad. You know, she's not bad. She has like a ring on her finger that she said she moved to the other finger because she was once married, but she likes the ring. She didn't pawn it, so she just simply moved it to the other finger and not the wedding finger, and I asked about that. You can see it is. Excuse me. She turned the ring around, though she said that sometimes the tiny diamonds, and she emphasized tiny, will somehow make it kind of irritation when she closes her hand and fingers and all that because she keeps the diamond turned around. For all I know, she's full of shit. It was fucking a wedding ring, and she was cheating on some dude. So she's in there looking for a dick, and I go in not necessarily looking for pussy, because honest to God, I get so much pussy.
Shut the fuck up!
Truckloads of fucking unending amounts of pussy. It doesn't make sense. Honest to God, it doesn't make sense. And you're going to say, Norm, please. Those who talk about it don't get it. Those who never talk about it get it all the time. Well, why would they never talk about it? Now, talking about it, I talk about it because I got to pass this on to the younger generation. I got to pass this shit on, maybe even to you. You're so dumb. You're balding. You're dumpy. You got a pair of jeans on. You got a Hemi truck belt buckle on your fucking pants. You're wearing cowboy boots. You got your tools and all. And why? It might help you also. So we start having small talk. And then the goddamn guy comes over, and I have to tell you something. I started to smell pussy. Now, it's not necessarily from her, and these kind of bars, they're not well ventilated. So if there's other chicks in there, they're getting turned on too. Each chick is emanating like a truckload of pussy stench. One piece of pussy after another, exuding this pussy stench, trying to overcome, overlap, project into the man by his breathing. He's breathing it in, it goes in his nose, and it does shit. Do you think that the lungs of the human being, male, aren't designed, they don't talk about this, aren't designed to understand what the stench of pussy is, to pick up on the molecules? Once it's inhaled, something physiological happens to you once you inhale pussy stuff, and they don't tell you that because it's manipulation, it's con. They don't want you to think that. They got to sell all this shit and the idea of romance, to package it all up in a fucking idea of romance. Look, it's romance, it's lovely, it's nothing like that. It's Nancy the Salt Monster coming at you, and you're going to lose. You can't fucking think. So we start talking, and she gently asks about where I'm from or what I do or where I live, and am I a farmer? Do I have property? She doesn't say that directly, but that's what she's asking. I give her all her answers, and I talk to her, and I'm starting to smell her pussy, and I don't like the stench of pussy, even with the 2 and 3 candles that fucking what's-his-name has just put up there, and Snuffy's just put on the counter. I start to smell her pussy, and I realize that that stench of pussy may be required, may be needed. It's so powerful, it's so determined, it has such skills, the stench of pussy, that it can penetrate panties, and I'm not sure the panty manufacturers aren't in on this. It could can actually push through the panties and push through the jeans and come out and still get to you. It has that kind of a veracity. It can come out and do this. It can do garments, maybe jean manufacturers. Maybe everybody's fucking in on this. I don't really know. That they can't make panties that can't pass pussy gas. That they can't make pants that can't pass pussy gas. These molecules, because if it was kept tight to her, you maybe would be in a better shape now. You maybe wouldn't be in trouble financially. You might have 3 cars. You might have ATVs and a boat out there. But it penetrates these areas. Now, are manufacturers in cahoots with whoever controls the system here in this world, in America? I say in America because it's like a totally different place than any other place. Is somebody controlling it this way? Yeah, that we just got a report, the 3110 report, that says your panties aren't allowing pussy gas to push through. You've got to use the molecular 19 kind of cloth with the rayon, with the polyester, even with the silk, so it can pass through. No one talks about it. It's just a big government secret, a big secret worldwide. So there you are, and you smell panties. You realize that you're being duped right away. You smell pussy. It's going through the clothes, and you're smelling it. So we start talking. And then we hit a part where we don't talk. I just look over at her, and she looks over at me, and we both have a kind of a smile on her face, and I know that shit. It's an unspoken thing going on. It's like my friend. He went to fucking the red light district over that other country, and he saw a bunch of chicks. I said, how'd you know them? They didn't speak English then. He said, the international language of love. I can't remember what his name is. That's what he told me, and that's what's going on here. I heard that. The international language of love. His name was Steve something. And there she is. We're looking at her. She's looking at me. And I know what's going on. I can feel it. I can feel my dick going up. I can feel it pumping up. Now, when you got a 15.5-pound dick like I do, a 15-point-pound piece of meat, round steak like I do, you can't afford to pop a boner when you don't want to pop a boner. Because why? Because that's a lot of meat. That's a lot of blood down there. Pants aren't designed for that. You could rip the zipper out, and I've had it happen. You can rip seams out. I've had it happen. It can become so painful because of your boner that you can't function anymore. You can't speak anymore. So you got to do what? You got to go unload your load or something. You got to leave, unload your package, and come back. And now it's self-defeating. You got no more cum, and you're talking to her. And now she looks like an old, ugly fucking witch on some broom. That's what you don't want to happen. But I can't afford to pop this big boner, this big rod that I'm going to pop, because it's so damn big. It's so meaty. 15.5 pounds. It's not a joke. I've probably lost some weight on it over the years. I'll give you that. But I weighed my dick once on my cocaine friend's scale. He was a cocaine salesman. I put my dick on a scale. He said, fine, do it. It was a mechanical scale. I pulled it out and put it on a scale. Just a little bit of the dick head was hanging over, but the rest was mostly. And it read out 15.5 pounds. The scale bottomed out. Sometimes I wake up at night. My friend's dead now. Of course he's dead. He was a cocaine salesman. He was in all kinds of things. And I can still hear this clunk. I can hear this metal on metal. Clunk. Metal on metal. Clunk. It'll wake me up. First, I thought it was me reloading the M1, the machine gun that we used on the fucking Huey helicopter during Vietnam. I thought that was me reloading the belt of bullets onto this thing, tracer bullets. I thought that was me doing that, and I thought, that's got to be what it is. There's the only flashback I have. Is that what it is? But it's not what it is. Wake up again and again, and I realize it's the sound of the fucking cocaine scale bottoming out. Is it put the dick on, man? My dick, 15.5 pounds, it's the sound of that. It's like some kind of punishment. I can't help it. I can't help I got super DNA. I can't help that my mom's body was intent on making a male my species, and the DNA said, make the dick extremely big. Get that semen in that fuck hole. Get it really big. Get attract a lot of women. I can't help that. Maybe it's in my family. I don't really know. I got a stepfather when I was 10 years old, so I don't really know about any of that stuff, who was the greatest father you could ever imagine. And, excuse me. And I waited on the scale. When I waited on the scale, this big clunking sound, his sister was over in the corner when she heard that thing clunk, and she came over. You couldn't even hear her walk. She's like a goddamn Indian or something like that. Just came over, was there standing right next to me when she heard that clunk, and she licked the coke off my cock while her brother watched. They weren't that way. They weren't some kind of fruity, screwy thing, a sexual thing, incest, nothing like that. He just couldn't believe that she was licking off the residue off my cock of cocaine. He was watching that. That was part of his craft, part of his trade. Man, when you're selling bullets and shit, you're into lead. You're selling bullets like that, you're into casings, aren't you? You're in all kinds of stuff. You're selling police fucking specials or something like that. You're into all that. You know that business. So we look at each other, and I look at her, and I realize that we're going to probably fuck. Being overcome by the stench of pussy from her pussy, because it's just dripping. When I say dripping, this is like something I never would have said years ago, a long time ago. It was impossible for me impossible for me to ever say. I also smoked some bad weed, I think, and I think it was just all fucking flowers or something like that, and it's kind of raked the insides of my voice box here, and I think I overdid it. Sometimes I can smoke down a doob. This is no shit, especially when I was younger. I'd have a contest with myself. Can I spark it up? Can I light it? Can I suck it down with a zigzag rolling paper? Can I suck the whole thing down or almost three quarters in one inhalation? And I have done that many, many times, though you suffer with your voice. So, there she is, there I am. We're at Snuffy's, where it's super dark. You're outside the planet, you're in outer space, I don't know what it is. They don't want you to know where you are. They just want you to drink and drink and drink. They don't care where you think you are. They just want you to drink and fuck. Without fucking, without bitches, this world would stop. That's all it is. It's just them bitches controlling men, vendors, manufacturers, giving women what they want. That's all it is. Wherever you look, you're looking at something designed to sell a woman, because they're brain dead. They're not like you and I. We say, well, this is 2 times 7. It's 14. I can't take a $14 a month payment now. I'll have to wait on that. That don't make any sense to them. Stuff like that doesn't make sense. I was once with a bitch. This is no lie. And I was in Big Rapids, Michigan. I went to university there, and I also went to Vassar. I went to fucking university there. And while I was there, we went to an antique store. While I was at the antique store, this is no shit. Maybe you know this yourself. We go into the antique store. It's a bunch of dusty junk. It's stuff I'd never fucking even look at. Bunch of dusty junk, old pipe wrenches from 1940. Stuff I wouldn't do. Now, the old pipe wrench and stuff, I might buy that because of the steel quantity. Put it in a damn kiln, burn it up, melt it up, and then have this extra steel. Maybe pour a mold or something like that. I used to make molds with sand and a fucking strainer, and I'd make the sand and the mold and pour steel into it. I might use something like that. It might have some feature. This chick I was with zeroed in an old rotting rabbit pelt. An old rotting rabbit pelt. When I say old and rotting, this rabbit pelt, you can't believe it. She picked it up and some of the fur fell right the fuck out and you could see the skin. Now, when I say see the skin, I know what I'm talking about, because I'm constantly searching for pussy scalps up here in upper northern Michigan, because they're invaluable. They're worth a fortune. Indians used them. They scalped the chick's pussy. These fucking white women that would come there. But these pussy scalps had the skin under it, just like the rabbit pelt. She looks at it, the fur falls out. It's stiff as a fucking board. It's never been tanned. It's not soft. It's just a stiff rabbit pelt. And it stinks. When she picks it up, dust comes out of it. Now, she had to have this. She looked at me and lit right up, man. Looked at me, wanted me to pay for it, which I did not pay for it. It's like nothing else in the store mattered. Not a big fucking fake gem, jewels, diamonds, all fake. Nothing like that. This slut had to have a fucking rabbit pelt that was flea-bitten and probably filled with all kinds of bugs, all kinds of shit. Maybe even goddamn crabs weren't a thing. I'm not sure. Crabs will go dormant when they can't find a pussy to inhabit. They'll go dormant on anything, and they often go to rabbit pelts and pelts like that because they think it's a pussy pelt, and they're just waiting for the chick to get turned on. They don't have a fucking brain. Crabs, you know, social crabs. So they'll hide out in a pussy pelt, and they say, huh, I'm eventually going to get in that pussy. I'm going to eventually infect her because she's going to get turned on. Or they say this, oh, fuck, I've got some old bag of shit. Her cunt's dried up. She's gone through menopause. She's absolutely useless driving around in a day. She takes 10 pills a day because she doesn't feel like herself anymore. She doesn't feel feminine. That's the kind of fucking thing. The thing might also get the crabs because this pelt never comes alive because it's a fucking rabbit pelt, for Christ's sake. So she buys the rabbit pelt. And here's me. You got to see me. I'm trying to act nice because she was about a size 3 or 5, and that's what I like. I like to bend him over and bang him up the crapper. I like to bend him around. I like little tiny women, and I don't like tall women. I don't want a tall woman with a big foot. How is that feminine? Big foot, tall woman, and shit like that. I don't want that, man. Running through the fucking woods, she looks not graceful. She looks like a wounded deer or something like that. An elk running, big, long thing, giant size, 11 feet. That's not feminine to me. And you're going to pay for that if you hook up with that. Because that slut's going to have all kinds of bunions and corns on her feet. She's going to have all kinds of trouble with her fucking legs and her kneecaps. And the joints that go into her pelvic bone. Why do I want a whore like that with big long legs and his commanding presence and shit like that? And the worst part of it is that if she's 6 foot or fucking 5'11 or 6'1 and shit like that, as she starts to shrink over the years, she might lose 6 fucking inches. You won't know where you are, man. You'll say, what the hell happened? Fucking, there's a short chick in here. She uses 6 inches a goddamn year. Now you're with this dumpy fucking thing. And you think, what happened? Where'd she go? Where's the chick I used to know? Because she's tall. She shrunk down. I like little women that I can bend around and slap around and shit. Hey, get over there. You get my raisin bread in the toaster now. I'm hungry. Get the fucking raisin bread in the toaster. Hey, get over there. Get my goddamn bagel in a toaster now. I want the bagel in a toaster and put the salmon on it, too. Lox, they call it. Salmon and lox. Get that over there right fucking now. I like little chicks. They're more feminine, more dainty. It's like they need you and shit. And there they are, this little package, man. Little package with a giant fucking cunt. Doesn't matter the size of them. The smaller they are, the bigger the cunt. I don't know why. Nobody knows why, but the cunt gets bigger and bigger the littler and littler they get. I think the cunt is thinking, maybe if a dick is near me on a beach or something, it'll flop over when a guy turns over and a dick will go into this huge goddamn hole. That's what their pussy on a little girl is, a little woman is. So, I'm with this chick and she tells me to call her Cheryl. I guess it's short for Shirley. I hadn't heard that name in a million years. You probably don't know anybody either named Shirley. But she said, call me Cheryl. And she said, what's your name? And I said, Norm. My name's Norman, but you can call me Norm. She said, well, I've never known anybody with the name Norman. I said, isn't that something? That's really interesting. And you can call me Norm, and I'll call you Cheryl. So it's Cheryl and Norm, and we're sitting at fucking Snuffy's bar. She's got drinks, we got 3 candles, and Snuffy occasionally goes by, and he'll lift his eyebrows like he knows that somehow I'm going to score. How am I going to score? How does any man fucking score? Well, I'm going to score. What exactly am I going to score? Insurance policies from her? No. I'm going to score her fucking $150,000 in debt. It's legally your debt when you marry her. I'm going to fucking come into all kinds of problems, her herpes treatments, all kinds of shit from her. Her debt bank accounts are all score emptied out. The debt collectors, the insurance policy she's killed everybody for. I'm going to inherit all that. Wow, I'm so goddamn lucky. You really scored here. I've heard chicks in old movies say, you're going to score. You don't score anything. She scores. You're paying for everything. There's no 45-year-old or 50-year-old woman ever going to work. And you're going to fucking pay her bills and buy all her shit. You're not scoring nothing. The only way to score with a chick is get yourself off quick, pump off inside her hole with your big cock, and get out of there. I've done that many times. I've gotten in the back or told them I had to go to the bathroom, whatever it is. I said I had to get my bicycle. It's out in the front yard. My car's in the back, and the bike's out there, and there might be a bike out there, and I point to it, so that way she goes to the bike, but I'm going in the back door in my car. I just do shit like that, and you can do the same shit. I picked up hitchhikers, and I've got them out. So Cheryl and I are sitting there, and it's getting more sexier and sexier. I almost can't smell the pussy anymore. That's what it does. One of the things the pussy gas does, pussy odors do, is it has a numbing effect on your brain. It'll numb your brain down, especially it goes right to work on how your nose works. The nasal passages in your brain that process odors, the first thing the pussy gas does is it neutralizes that. It puts it out of order. You can't smell her pussy anymore. She looks good in every fucking way. You can't smell it anymore because you're being doused with it. That's what it is. Pussy gas is just not harmless fucking gas. Not harmless stink coming out of a wet, dark cavern that's taken dick since she was 14 years old. It's not just harmless shit. It has a purpose. Why would the pussy stink like gas like that? Smell like that. It's all kinds of things working on your body. And it's also a thing, a warning to other chicks, because you can't get it off your dick. You can't get it off your hands. It's on your hands for weeks. It's on your dick for weeks, and other women can detect that. And that's why you use goop. You know what goop is? Goop's a thing mechanics use. If you use goop on your hands, it comes out like white jelly, and it's long tubes. If you use goop on your hands, if you put goop on your dick, it'll neutralize the stink of pussy. It's like if using tomato sauce and you've been sprayed with a skunk. They use tomato juice or tomato sauce to get rid of the smell of skunk. It's the same thing. Use goop on your dick, goop on your fucking dick, goop on your back, goop on your ball sack, and no one can smell it anymore. And the worst part of pussy odor is what it does to your brain. You can't think. She's smiling, and she's making that sound, and she knows you're done for as soon as you smelled it. Now, here's what you should do, but isn't socially accepted. When you meet a chick, you should put a clothespin on her on your nose. If you put a clothespin or, say, a diver's clip on their nose, or a person that swims underwater all the time, or some fucking competitive swimmer, they put a clip on their nose, you can't smell the pussy anymore. That's what you should do if you want to be serious and actually get it on and try to avoid the damaging effects of pussy odors. What it does to your brain, it actually lingers in your brain for about 21 days. And my friend, his name is Rapalunge, and he works at the Detroit Health Department. He's told me this. The best way you can do it is with that. And same thing with if you have Ambisol and you put it on your gums. Say you ate her out and the pussy juice is in the gums. It gets in open wounds. Maybe you got a sore in your mouth. It gets behind loose teeth. You got to use Ambisol to numb that down to keep eating her out. Ambisol is a numbing cream you can buy right off the shelf, say at Walmart. So I end up going in the back with her. I end up going in the back with it, fucking Cheryl. It's Cheryl and Norman. And we're going in the back. You got to travel through this long hallway. It goes past a storeroom, something that says something that I'm sure that they keep mops in. It goes past two bathrooms. And on the bathrooms, it says guys and girls. And one shows a boot and the other one shows a saddle. I don't know why. The girls have got the saddle. The other one's the boot. That's the man. I guess the saddle because of the horn of the saddle, like she'd be on it taking a dick. She'd be riding the horn of the saddle, holding on to the sword like she's on top of somebody like the saddle. That's the horn and the saddle. So we go in the back, and we end up in the back of the building. You've probably done this many times. I'm in the back of the building, and back there is a double-wheeled bike, a double-seated bike, which I found odd, and he's got a yellow light back there, and you can hear a humming yellow light, and there's bugs all over it, and it's a pretty clear night. Bugs flying over the lamp, there's fucking two-seated bicycle back there, and we go back there, and there's a dumpster back there, and the lids are closed, two plastic lids on top of the dumpster. We go back there. And I push her against the dumpster. And I push her against the dumpster because the pussy odor probably is better. I can't smell it anymore. It's probably better than the dumpster odor is probably better than the pussy odor. And I bang her out next to the dumpster. We don't even sit. It's like something in a movie. She's got her legs wrapped around me. I'm pumping her out. There's no way she can fall. It's like she's a fish on a sharp hook because my dick is so big and pointed up so far. It's like a bent hook, a fishing hook. She can't come off. I've hooked her. Look at my prize. This is my fish. And she smells like a fish if I could smell her anymore because I can't smell her. But soon, I guess outside, I have had this happen. You eventually can get your scent of smell back, and you'll smell her pussy, and you'll start vomiting. You'll start vomiting. You'll start running. Nothing matters anymore. You could lose your job. It just nothing matters. You're just running as quick as you can. I once did that. I was wearing like disco shoes, high heel shoes, at a 45-degree angle, and I was working as a volunteer at a pancake sale, and some retard kept coming up to the counter. I was a volunteer and kept asking for more pancakes. It just annoyed the shit out of him. I said, you can't have any more pancakes. You had your share of pancakes. Now go sit down, retard. And I didn't say retard. They said, go sit down. It was all fucking women, all Democrats working there, doing good shit for things. But there was a motorcycle gang in there called the Lead Compens, and they were in the back of the building, and they were eating pancakes too, doing their, you know, thing that motorcycle clubs will do. Going to the pancake dinner, helping kids on the street, stood up in the lemonade stands, and they got pissed and they came after me, the Lead Compens. So I started running. Just dropped the fucking spatula. I dropped the spatula, start running, and I remember I had my disco shoes on at 45-degree angle on the heels. I don't know why I walked like that. And I had to hide. I must have ran 2 miles, and I was hiding behind this big concrete wall that was separating the subdivision from the fucking main road. And I just stood there for hours because the Lead Compens were going to kill me because I told the fucking retard he couldn't have any more pancakes at the pancake dinner. It was really annoying. You're going to say, why would you hold on to that memory, Norm? I can't tell you why, but I've got to give you this. It is slightly annoying. So I banged her out behind the building with a dumpster, and I really unloaded on her. When I say I really unloaded on her, I could sort of feel like she had impact, like someone had punched her from the bottom, someone with a powerful punch. Let's say Mike Tyson punched her from the bottom. When my load came out, her body reacted that way, violently, like impact, like a torpedo, like a missile. And that was just two fistfuls of cum being blown up into her fuck hole and filling up wherever it goes. I asked a girl once, I said, where does the cum go? This has also started the decline of what I thought of women. She said, it just falls out. It just falls out. You could be at work and two fistfuls of cum could fall out and go into your panties, and the panties are made to push stink through because of fucking pussy odors. It just falls out. That's what she said to me, and I hear that often myself. I banged her out behind the building. When I banged her out behind the building, there was interest that I had in her had suddenly declined. It had suddenly gone away. I don't know what it was. She said, let's go back in the bar. Drink, have some more drinks, tell some more stories, whatever. She said, let's go back in the bar. When I was done fucking her, I got to tell you, her legs are a little bit bow-legged, and she was unsteady. She was unbalanced. Like she flopped around. Like it wasn't the booze. It was the big dicking she just took. The big dicking, the two fistfuls to come, the connection, the interaction, the spark from Norm Augustinus, her spark, whatever, however dim it was, her big tits and shit like that. It was pinching them off and things like that that you're supposed to do. And she was wobbling around like she had been shot with a fucking tranquilizer gun meant for a fucking Sasquatch or an elk or something like that, a boa constrictor, the head of him. And she was flopping around. That's because of the dicking I gave her. When I dick somebody, I'm telling you the truth. If you were a chick, you'd find out. If I dick somebody, I give it everything I have. I split them open. I pop their seam right open. I just tear it open, the seam, and the guts come out. And I just bang them out till they're almost incapacitated. That's what a dick is. It's not supposed to go in slow and shit. You're not a monkey or something with a stick in your hand fishing on fucking ants out of an anthill. That's what they can do. You're not like that. You're not an aardvark sucking out ants with a tiny tongue going in and out of the hole. You're goddamn got a big dick. You got a 2-inch cylinder that's 10 or 12 inches long or 14 inches long if you're me, and you're supposed to impale, impale, impale. That's what I do. I impale. And she was flopping all over, but she had lost her luster to me. She'd lost her luster. She went back in the bar. I told her to be back in a minute. And I got to tell you what I did. Someone had thrown out the taco shell or burrito shell. That's a soft taco. Half of it was still in the dumpster. I took that and there was sauce on it, and I put my cock in it and I rolled it around my cock. It was like a burrito cover. What's a soft shell taco? A soft shell, the round shell, but it's not the hard one. It's a soft one. I wrapped it around my cock, which still had a boner, and I started just wiping it off, trying to get off whatever was in her pussy, and wiping it off, and I forced myself to piss, even though I didn't have to piss. Have you ever done that? You're forcing yourself. I gotta go. I gotta get this urine out of me. Come on, man. Come on, man. Get the urine out. And I did that with a shell. I went around the building, got back in my car, and get out. So here's where we started, man. Here's where we started. Here's what really upset me, man. And when I said I got sent a big trouble all of a sudden. And the big trouble is what? It's never happened to me in my life till I met Cheryl. Maybe it's happened to you. I'm sure it's happened to you many fucking times. I started noticing when I've been home here the last several days that when I peed, it really hurt. And I thought, what happened there? Was there something on the taco shell, the burrito shell, the soft shell, the round thing that you use for a burrito, a bean burrito? Was there something on that? I shouldn't have wiped my cock off in that to get off Cheryl's shit from my dick. Was there something on that? And it hurt when I peed, so I went to a physician and kept hurting and kept hurting and burning. And I thought, do I have a urinary tract infection? I had one once before, a long time ago. Because my dick is so big, my dickhead one time I woke up and my cockhead was in my asshole when I woke up. I don't know how. I get horny sometimes and maybe I was trying to fuck myself. I don't remember. Maybe I got it from shit when I was trying to hump myself. But my dickhead was in my shithole. Just the head part. You know, the end part. So I went to a physician and the physician said this, man. I'm not kidding you, man. The great Norm Augustinus. The guy that you listened to for 20 or 25 years, and I'm not happy saying this, he said, you have VD. I got VD, man. I spent 18 months in Vietnam. I fucked hundreds of women. I go into fucking this goddamn place, Snuffy's, and I'm bumping the Cheryl, and I bang her out, and I end up with venereal disease. Man, I'm not happy about that, man. Man, I'm not happy about that. And I cried when they told me to go into the tunnel and be a tunnel rat. That's what they called them in Vietnam. I cried before. I begged the guy. I didn't want to go the fuck in there. You can't see. All you do is keep two goddamn handguns and 2.45s in each hand. I can't see. And I cried there. And, man, I was crying when he told me I had VD. Until he said this. It'll go away in about a week. I'm going to give you a shot of antibiotics and penicillin. You don't have HIV. You don't have syphilis. You got VD. It's been around since fucking forever. I said, you mean it, man? I ain't going to die. I ain't going to lose my dick. I can keep on fucking living the lifestyle I want. There's no creams or salves, no fucking monthly breakouts, no goddamn determined time you're going to die. You mean it? The doctor said, yeah. Watch who you're with next time. Be careful of the company that you occupy yourself with. And I said, man, you have no idea, Doc. It's never going to happen again. I was like this with him, and I gave him a hug. When I gave him a hug, the nurse kind of came there like to pull me away, but I actually think she wanted to hug me herself. Big goddamn tits, huge areolas, giant nipples. She was probably dripping from her pussy hole. See how well I recovered? I wasn't dying. I had fucking everyday ordinary VD, penicillin, antibiotics, man. I'm back to fuck another day, man. And it was really creepy. I was scared. I was even scared now. Sometimes I think, what if the fucking doctor was wrong? Why did I fuck Cheryl? Why would I let myself be manipulated in Snuffy's bar and grill with three fucking candles? That's the warning, man. When you see a candle around you, you're being conned. You're being manipulated. Get the fuck out of there, fuck stick.
You've been listening to the one and only
Augustinus!
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down, we pop the corks in your toes, and all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Emma, how are you?
I hope you are well.
Have you carved your jack-o'-lantern yet? Emma, you're always so understanding. I needed to send you this typewritten letter real bad. The other day I was walking in the Kroger supermarket parking lot to get to my car. Kroger supermarkets can be found all over Michigan. Kroger also owns Ralph's. I walked past many cars, but I passed an old 1960s pickup truck that had a pair of panties stuck to the front of the grill. The grill is in the front of the truck. Like all cars, grills are open to allow airflow through the radiator to help cool the radiator coolant. The coolant keeps the engine from overheating. Emma, I peeled the panties off the grill. Panties had been there a very, very long time. They were stiff, like someone had ironed them flat and sprayed them with starch or sizing spray. While in my car, I examined the panties. The heavily soiled panties were covered with pee, poop, and perspiration stains, in addition to thick, almost plasticky, smelly cum stains. Emma, for clarity, I will refer to the soiled panties as cum panties. It was odd. I could peel the cum stains off the panties. In the back of the panty was a round hole. I believe someone used this hole to push a massive dick into the panty owner's asshole. Additionally, there was a round hole where the woman's pussy was. I believe someone jammed their white, hot, blood-engorged, enormous cock into the panty owner's fuckhole. The elastic band of the panty was still intact, but it was completely stretched out. The inside perimeter, outer edge of the holes were black, like they had been singed by something hot, like a hot, fiery dick. Emma, I cut out the biggest cum stain from the cum panty, and I drilled a hole in it and ran a necklace through the hole, and now I wear the cum stain as a decorative amulet around my neck. Cum is good luck. It means someone took the dick and probably had a smile on their face. Not everyone gets a chance to get dicked. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Let me know what your thoughts are regarding my find. Please also inform me as to how things are going in your neck of the woods. I always enjoy getting your letters. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the pumpkin painting contest on Main Street in Armada, Michigan. This is a contest where the orange exterior of real pumpkins are peeled off. Contestants must mix up their own orange color using primary colors that are supplied to them and repaint the pumpkin to make it look like a genuine pumpkin. Emma,
They only get one chance to mix and apply the paint to the pumpkin. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she went into the outhouse and she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she placed her hands on the toilet seat and she stood on her head in order to make her torso more accessible to me. When I came into the outhouse, I ate out your big-titted little sister and I gave her a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister, there was a knock on the porta-potty door, and then a woman said,
"Hello? I know you're in there. Normally, the odor of shit can be very disturbing. This is an outhouse. It should smell like shit. But it doesn't. And do you know why? Because the pussy you're eating out in there is overriding the stench of freshly laid shit. That's what pussy does. Everyone out here knows that some lucky whore is in there, and she's getting eaten out. And they're fucking jealous. I'm jealous. I can hear the licking sounds. Let me in this outhouse right now. I want to be eaten out and rimmed too. In exchange, I'll blow you and lick your balls. And I'll cram you and the missus up the tailpipe with the enormous strap-on dildo I have in my purse. Open this door now and eat me out and rim me. I'm really hurting. Open this fucking door now!
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your Rare Finds and Exotic Treasure Store manager. Ladies, did you know that over 50,000 hippie girls were run over by cars and trucks in the 1960s? That's right, hippie chicks were run over while they were barefoot and walking eagerly and gingerly towards dope and dick. They wanted it bad, man. It's a shame that you weren't a part of this rare and valuable female hippie chick mindset that was so insanely embraced by men. But I've got something for you on the counter right now that I know you'll want. When 60s hippie chicks were run over, their bodies often became lodged in the front car grills of cars and trucks. Their luxe, tasty, big, jugged, tight-hulled hippie bodies eventually fell apart and rotted away, but their panties remained affixed to the face of the radiator. Air rushing into the radiator turned the panties into stiff, flat pieces of art, hidden away affixed to radiators for decades. These lost 60s female hippie chick panties were a secret shared among only a handful of men in the world, but not anymore. Honey, I've got 5,000 pairs of those genuine 1960s hippie girl panties, complete with shit, pee, blood, and cum stains. But I might add, mostly cum stains. Hippie girls took their dick all the time. These panties that I now have in stock were once owned by a 1960s hippie all-in girl that was killed when she was run over by a trucker car while she was walking barefoot to her pusher or big dick comp. Come on up to the counter right now and get your pair, only $99.95. Your relic 1960s hippie chick cum panty comes with a certificate of authenticity, and it comes with a photograph of the radiator that the panty was peeled off of. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit onto the screen of my very rare 1959 Etch-a-Sketch, serial number 481192. Mandy is super horny, and she has irritable bowel syndrome. Mandy Phelps was using the Etch-a-Sketch to draw an image of a colored person's huge cock going into her hungry fuck hole, and because she got so very turned on, her asshole suddenly gave way, and she shit on the Etch-a-Sketch screen and all over the plastic control knobs. My assistant doesn't wear panties.
I just shit all over my boss's valuable Etch-a-Sketch. I was drawing an image of myself taking an Iranian's monster Muslim cock. A customer came to the counter, so I laid the Etch-a-Sketch onto the seat of the front desk chair. While I worked with the customer, I could hear the drips of vaginal juice raining out of my pussy as they hit the desk chair mat I was standing on. I got super horny as I used the Etch-a-Sketch, and when that happens, I lose control of my asshole muscles and my shit pours out of me. Sometimes my shit is solid, and then it turns to diarrhea, and then it goes back to a solid train car like flow, and then sometimes it's just high-pressured spurts of noxious gas. When I tried to wipe my shit off the Etch-a-Sketch knobs, they fell off, and when I tried to wipe my dung off the Etch-a-Sketch screen, my hot bubbling manure had melted its way through the screen and onto the special sand that is inside the Etch-a-Sketch. The whole fucking thing is ruined. There's shit everywhere.
Attention! Attention, maintenance department. Please report to the counter and bring a wet and dry vacuum along with a pine-scented Holiday Time Airwick Solid. Please also bring a pack of scented flushable ass wipes and a box of smelling salts along with two lime-flavored Alka-Seltzer discs. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck!
Oh.
Fuck!
Oh.
Fuck!
Oh.
Fuck!
Oh.
Fuck!
Oh.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.